Shalom and good morning. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We are all invited again to go through the scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, from verses 1 all the way to 11. The word of God is so valuable into our lives. And as we journey through the word, let us allow the Bible and the Word of God to journey through us. God, in the book of Hebrews, is a God who is portrayed as a God who speaks. From chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible sets the message of the book of Hebrews. And the message is, in the God is speaking. God has been speaking to his people. God is not a silent God. And God spoke to our forefathers just as he is speaking to us, just as he will speak to the generation that will come after us. But God has a habit of speaking and communicating through an intermediary, all through a media. God speaks through media. God speaks through a third party, so to speak. He has been speaking through an intermediary, or somebody or something between us. But why has God always spoken through to us through another person? One of the reasons that we have been dealing with, we discover, is because of sin. Sin means because people have missed the mark. People have left the place where God wants them to be. Adam is no longer in the place where God has been meeting with him. Adam and Eve has already left the garden. They have been hiding in the bush. That's called sin. They have sinned. Sin means they have missed the mark. Of course, the desire of God was and has been that God would speak to us directly. Let's face it. The will of God, though he has spoken through to us through the third party, but he desires from the beginning that he would come to us in the cool of the day and speak to us face to face, one on one, without third party. That is the will of God. But because of sin, and sin means we have missed the mark, God has to use another person, another third party to, but the purpose is to help us come back to him. So God has been speaking. Now we discover in chapter 4 is that God's message is, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor, and I'll give you rest. After Adam went outside God's will and he sinned from the path of God, from the mark of God, God wanted him to come back. And that is the message we're having in the book of Hebrews. So the promise is, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. So the best kept secret of God is rest. It's called rest. What is rest? Rest, as we are going to discover here, which is God's message for us, is, I will work for you. I will help you. You don't need to do anything. You have no strength of doing it. In fact, you are drowning. I am going to rest. You only need to do one thing, and that is trust me. Believe in me. Look up to me. And God has always spoken in the future, says, in a promise. So like verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stand, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen off short of it. So you see, there's a promise. God speaks in a promise. God always gives the big picture. God always helps us today, and he promised to help us. So between us and God, and between us and what he wants to do for us, beside what he has done, is that there's a promise. So what do we do with the promise? God speaks through a promise. That is it. He speaks through a promise. So can we hold on to that promise? And the promise is of entering his rest, is entering his ability. It's when you do nothing about it, you don't trust on idols, you don't trust on other people, you don't trust on your wealth, you don't trust on your ability, you trust on him and him alone. You say like the psalmist, I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So here we are being told that the promise of entering his rest still stand, even to this very day. It still stand. And so the warning, and this is the second warning, is let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. The first challenge and warning, which we got it in chapter 2, was about don't drift away. See to it that you don't drift. You don't drift from what, from the one who is speaking. But here, it's showing that you have fallen short of it. You have drifted. You've gone away. You are far from the anchor. And you are not trusting the promise of God. For we also have had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Another Bible says they did not mix what God said with faith. You see, we've been told that that God has been speaking and God has spoken. We are not short of God's message. But the problem is, do we appropriate that message? Do we allow that message to work in our lives? So we are being reminded of those who are ahead of us that they did not benefit from what God spoke. And so they missed the rest of God. And so he's saying, see to it that you do not be like them. Why did they not enter into God's rest? Because they did not obey. They did not share the faith. They did not put their trust on the word that was spoken. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said, so I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly heard the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when, for a long time later, he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for God's people. For anyone who enters God's rest also rest from their works or from their labor, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. Now, this portion of scripture is very critical. And we're being told there's a promise to enter God's rest. And God's rest is when God is in charge of it. Now, the best example that is given is the people of Israel who did not enter rest. And why did they not enter rest? One word, because of disobedience, because of unbelief. Unbelief is equal to disobedience. Unbelief is what we want to deal with up here. The children of Israel, they have been promised to enter God's land. And that land represents God's rest for them. Let's take literally that for them to move from Egypt to Canaan, that was rest. Because God said, I'll give you land that you have not fought for, I'll fight for you. That's rest. Because rest means I am doing it. You're entering. You're benefiting. I'll give you water cisterns or water boreholes that you did not sunk or dig. I dug them. I'll give you houses you did not build. I'll give you land that you did not, buy. I want you to inherit me. An inheritor is one of the best examples of rest, because somebody is giving you. And yet, these things that we are given freely have resulted to make people not to believe and trust God. And so God takes the Israelites up to the border of their promised land. And then they refuse to enter. Number one, as a sign of unbelief, they asked Moses to send spies to see if what God promised is true. Then Moses said, okay, let's send 12 of them. And he chose leaders from among their leadership, among the tribes. And he said, the 12, when they were there, they saw exactly, Moses told them what to look for. And Moses said, this is what you'll see, because God had promised. You've never been to Canaan, but this is what God has promised for us. Go in and enter. So they refused again. So those who went there, they saw what God had promised, and they saw the will of God. But they refused. They looked for a reason not to enter. And they looked for a reason to make other people not to enter. Some of the reasons were the walls are tall. They are giants. We are dwarves. We are like grasshoppers. The way we looked at ourselves, and they also looked at us the way we looked at ourselves. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and they also look at us as grasshoppers. And this land is going to devour their inhabitants. We will be destroyed. Entering there will be death. Let us not enter. You see, they are looking for a reason not to enter. Disobedience, unbelief, which is disobedience, is looking for a reason not to enter. Is looking for a reason not to go and believe and follow God. Is looking for a reason not to get to the promises of God. God has said, I promised you. And these people, they refused. And for that reason, God got angry. God said, because they have refused to obey, because they looked for reason not to enter, God became angry with them. And he was angry for them for 40 years, so to speak. And he swore with an oath, and he said, they shall never enter my rest. Why? Because they have refused. You see, you don't fall into sin as we said. You chose to enter into sin. There is a difference between falling into sin because you do not know, because you are immature, because you have forgotten. But here, you have remembered very well, but you chose not to. That's the difference between unbelief and doubt. Doubt is when you fall into sin because you do not know. You look for lesson. When you get to know, you come out of that route. You come out of that lostness because you have known. So you see, like a man called Thomas. Thomas said, I cannot believe until I see, and until I touch, until I feel it, until I put my finger. And when Jesus came and said, Thomas, here I am. Now put your finger here. Feel me. Put your hand in my side. Look to where they pierced me. And when Thomas saw that, he bowed before the Lord and he worshipped God. He said, Lord, my God, I believe. You see, Thomas was not suffering from unbelief. He was not refusing to believe. He did not have enough reason to believe. And when he finally got enough reason to believe, he worshipped. And God said, blessed is the one who believe even without seeing. So today, let's get to know there still remain a day, rest day for God's people. Let's believe in God and let's rest. Let's fall into the God's rest. Let's run to God so that he can work for us. Father, we thank you for the rest of God. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.